Welcome to the Fangled Cast, brought to you by Fangled Technologies, where we help you convert every person your company touches into a voracious advocate for your brand.
Oh, everyone, welcome back to the Fangled Cast. Today, we're going to talk about coaching, such controversy in the area of how do you find a qualified one and weed out the ones that may not quite be the right coach for you or don't even have the skill set that's needed. So rather than going to the negative and talking about the folks who just sort of ended up being a coach because they needed something to fill in their LinkedIn space, we're going to talk today about great coaches with great coaches. And I'm really honored because I've got three folks that have a background of proof, social proof, that they've done great work over many years helping people through their coaching skills. So I'm going to let them introduce themselves as we go forward. But today on the show, we've got John Knotts, we've got Julie Ruska, and we've got Mary Henderson actually visiting us from Australia. It's amazing what technology can do. So please tell me about yourself, Mary.
Oh, Andrew, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. So I'm from Australia and I am a coach. I help coaches and consultants and business owners systemize, digitalize, and commercialize their knowledge, wisdom, and skills into a brand and a digital business. I have a very specific system that I've built around my coaching business. I use a lot of technology in my business. We have a SaaS platform that has been developed exclusively for the defining of the personal brand. And I've been doing full-time coaching now for the last 6 years.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
So my name is John Knotts and I own Crosscutter Enterprises, my own coaching and consulting firm. I call myself a personal and professional business coach and consultant. So I work with individuals as well as I work with businesses to help them start new businesses, grow, scale, and improve their careers, find purpose and direction, and set goals and be accountable to those. I've been in coaching and consulting for over 25 years, started in the Air Force, worked with Booz Allen Hamilton, where I really learned a lot over 3 years, and then worked internally with a Fortune 100 company.
Fantastic. And Julie, please tell us about what you do.
Hi, everyone. I'm Julie Ruska. I'm a certified high-performance coach and a high-performance strategist. My company is Powerful Leaders. And what I do is I help people examine the areas of career, relationships, health, and finance to determine where they're functioning at their optimal levels and where there's room for growth. And then we create a strategic plan to get there. So that's what I do with my one-on-one clients. I also am moving into more corporate executive team coaching. And that's where I show up to do leadership development and create high performance cultures. And that's kind of a buzzword, and I'm sure we'll get into it more. Yes. But it really is creating a sense of we're all in this together. Here's our vision. Here's where we're going. And how are we going to accomplish these goals?
These are people with experience that actually have clients who have benefited and grown and accomplished. If I'm somebody who's trying to find a coach for my needs and make sure that I don't end up with somebody who really doesn't have the skill set, what should I be looking for and what should I be asking to really identify a good coach?
I think that for me, it's really important to, first of all, be very clear on the problem that you have. I think that that's a really, really important thing. You know, the problem that I think a lot of people have, Andrew, when they're looking for a coach, I truly believe this. I think that we're a culture that has a DIY mindset. That's the first thing. People think that they can solve their problems by going onto YouTube or Googling or, you know, buying an ebook, mm-hmm. etc. And the thing is that that never solves a problem. All that is giving you a very, very, very 0.0001% of the total picture. And therefore, by being very clear on what it is that you need solve and like literally breaking it down into micro pieces, doesn't that make a much better conversation with a prospective coach that you're wanting to engage? You know, whereas what I find a lot of people come on my prospect calls and they have this idea, this dream that apparently they can make money while they sleep. And I just find that extraordinary that people have that notion that they can make money from sleeping from a $10,000-$15,000, coaching program. So the thing is that what people don't understand is when people are looking for a coach, they need to understand the person that they're talking to, the prospective coach, understand what their system actually looks like. How many moving parts are in their system? And that's an indicator to show you that if this person, like mine has 24 macro moving parts, if there's 24 macro moving parts, that's telling you that it's not a DIY. It's telling you that this person has a tried and tested framework and they can take you from pain to glory if you're prepared to implement these moving parts. And the other thing is, Andrew, when you're engaging a coach, especially someone like myself or like John, Julie, yourself, we're not a get rich quick scheme type of approach. We believe that you have to put the time in, you have to put the effort in. It requires an investment in emotion, in time, in physical, energy. All of this stuff is a requirement, when you're working with the right coach. And that coach that you're talking to must have the courage to actually be able to say that. And I say this all the time, if you want to work with me, I work at speed and I require your attention. This is not a get rich quick scheme. It requires time and effort. Are you prepared to do that? Mm-hmm. And when people say no, they usually make the excuse of money, but it's never money. It's that they are not prepared to go the distance. So I think that you've got to be very clear right up front. These are the problems. Can you help me solve them? Isn't that a much more mature conversation?
So one of the things that I like to talk about is that, one, we all have to start somewhere. I started somewhere. Julie started somewhere. I understand that you can start coaching without a whole lot of experience, a whole lot of knowledge in it. The problem is that when you get out there and you start presenting that you can basically save the world with your coaching, you're probably going to cause more harm than good. If you're looking for motivation and a little bit of direction, that isn't really that hard to find. I mean, so if you're just, kind of like the average person out there that is struggling, you really could probably find that in your own friends network. And honestly, yesterday I was listening to a good friend of mine who was on an Instagram live event. And one of the things he said is just expand your network on things like LinkedIn or Facebook and get involved in discussions, because you can find people for free that are willing to just give you advice and mentor you. And if you read the posts that are out there, you're probably going to get the kind of information that you need from people like Julie and myself and you that like to share, that are constantly providing value. So that's kind of like the, if it's just a basic, I need some direction and some help, that's where you can find it. You don't need to spend a lot of money for that. And honestly, if you're starting out with coaching, you're probably not going to charge a lot. It's more of the areas where somebody will come in and say, I can do all of these things, yet they don't have the experience, the background. And this is, Julie and I have talked about this many times, but basically I immediately will look and I get pitched by business coaches. I'm a business coach and I've been doing it for 25 years and I get pitches. And the things that I look at, I'm going to look at their experience. What kind of jobs have they had? Oh, none. Okay. Except for the one that you started 5 months ago. Mm-hmm. Two, I'm going to look at their educational background, their certifications. What do they have? They probably have a degree because they came out and they don't know how to, get a job with it because the market is it's struggling. So I look at those things and I'm like, yeah, you have no certification in coaching. You have no business certifications and your degree isn't even business focused. So really, how are you going to help me? And then I look at their recommendations, who's recommended them, and better yet, who have you recommended? So mm-hmm. What value do you provide? And the last thing that I look at, because I see them on LinkedIn all the time, is I look at how active they are. What are they posting? What are they sharing? If they're not sharing anything, and this is what gets me, is when I get the coaches for lead generation or digital marketing expert, or, and I just did a workshop with a client on digital, they're a digital marketing agency, and we talked about being known and everything, you know, that there's over 800,000, and I'm not kidding, 800,000 people with digital marketing expert in their profile.
Yep.
I went out, it took me 1,200 profiles to go through before I actually found one that I would say had the experience, had the, you know, the presence of being a digital marketing expert.
Yeah. Hold on. While you were talking, John, I signed up. Now there's 800,001.
let me put you on my list.
Yeah. Right. You got to go back and vet them all. Hey, Julie, what do you have to, I could see you just dying to say something.
No, you know, it's interesting because when he talked about experts and promises, I'm very weary of people that guarantee results.
Sure.
Like clients, I'll tell them, I can't guarantee, because it really is a matter of, I'm trained to share this information with you, but what you do with it makes the difference. Mm-hmm. Like there are people that can go through the same training. There are 100 people that go through the same training, but if you take it and you run with it and you're consistent with it, yep, it's going to give you very different results than if you just kind of hang out and passively take it in. So I'm very cautious of that. And then self-proclaimed experts. Mm-hmm. I have a background in health and wellness coaching and yoga. And whenever I met someone that said they're enlightened, that was like the key to run away. So yeah, when people say they're an expert, like they proclaim themselves an expert. Other people don't call them experts. That's when I kind of want to run. So I have an acronym actually that I use to help people figure out what kind of coach they need to be with. And if it's a reputable coach, it's TIRE, like an old reliable tire. So the T is for training. The I is for integrity. The R is for results, and the E is for experience. So the first is training. Is this person trained? If not, now there are business coaches I have met that have been CEOs. They've achieved success in business and now they're coaching. Yeah, so they don't necessarily all have to have training, but if you're talking about a performance coach, a life coach, I want a training and I want to know about the training. It's not just they have a certification. I want to do my research on it.
Sure.
I want to know exactly, was it a 2-hour workshop that gave them a certificate, or was it something like the training that I've done with the High Performance Institute that it was a week long. And then every year I do another week and another week, and you have to maintain a certification. You don't just show up, get a nice little certificate and never go back. Integrity, that's what John was kind of talking about, is what are they putting out into the world? And is it aligned and congruent? Like, are they consistently talking and sharing the same message? Or are they kind of doing like clickbait, like, oh, look, it's a cute little fuzzy bunny. Everyone's going to like it now. Or here is my 90th poll, because I know polls are performing well. So every day I'm putting a poll out there and now I'm polling people about what they ate for breakfast. But, you know, I'm reputable.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Can I just tell you,
please,
you know what? What I despise the most is that whole scarcity approach. To me, that's the greatest disrespect to a human being, number one. And number two, how dare anyone use those tactics on me as a mature person? I'm sorry, I refuse to be in a room with that type of mindset. And
before you go, can you define what you mean by the scarcity for folks that don't know what you're saying?
A lot of coaches will actually use the scarcity tactic of, hey, you've got 24 hours to sign up with me and I'm going to give you $5,000 discount. You know, I mean, who gives a $5,000 discount? You know, like, but it's like, it's unreal. It's almost unreal, right? So these scarcity tactics are 1980s. They're old, they're yesterday. No one cares. No one's interested. What people want is a really mature conversation. That's just one scarcity tactic. The other one, Andrew, is that a lot of people, when they get on a call with you know, their prospects, is that they do this whole motivational speaking mindset BS, you know, stuff. It's like, you know, you've got a block, Did you know that? You've got a mindset block. And that's why you're not moving forward. That's why you haven't got your business where you want it to be. You know, but if you use me, I can help you. Just like my client, John, over here. So this is all, these are all scripted, you know, sales responses. These are not conversations that are bespoke by prospect. No conversation that I have is ever the same. However,
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I was going to say it's a difference between client recruiting and cult recruiting.
Thank you. That's exactly what I'm saying here. So, and what happens is that they have these scripts that they use. You know why they have those scripts, Andrew? Because they actually cannot conduct a professional discovery call in the way that it needs to be done. When my people go through a discovery call with me, I'll tell you what I'm looking for. There's two outcomes I'm after. Number one, I want that prospect to have an ecstatic Mary Henderson brand experience, regardless whether they buy from me or not. Now, most people say, are you crazy? And I say, absolutely not, because I'm focused on the 99% who don't buy, because guess what, Andrew? They've told another 10 people, oh my God, this person is amazing. Like, I learned so much. And that's just in the discovery call. The other thing is that I actually want to educate. So when I'm on a discovery call with somebody, I'll do a full gap analysis in that 45-minute period. Why do I do it, Andrew? I want that person to walk away and actually see the reality of their situation. And I want that person to make the decision if I'm the right person for me, for them, yeah. Not me, for them.
My background, I studied international trade in undergrad, but went back to school and got my master's and worked as a therapist for several years while I was building my business practice. And back in those days, there was this thing that happened. Anyone who couldn't get into grad school ended up being what was unregulated at the time, a life coach.
Yeah.
And the life coaches were literally—
When did they get regulation in that?
I don't know that there is regulation in it now, but it was, I'm saying it was an unregulated word then. So you could put up your shingle and call yourself a life coach. And so many of them thought that they were psychotherapists, and they were dealing not just with coaching people's lives, but dealing with mental issues and things like that. And not long, they would end up at the crisis unit or they would end up somewhere else because they were being led down by folks that didn't have training.
When I'm looking at potential clients in our initial, usually it's a 90-minute session, there are a lot of instances where I need to send them to a psychologist. I'm like, this is not in my scope and sequence. This is not what I do. I take people from where they're at and help them envision a strategic plan for the future and help them get those results. But I don't dive into your depression issues, your addiction issues. That's not what I do. And I think reputable coaches recognize that and direct people. Yep. And coaches that don't take on things that they can't handle. And that's where it gets dangerous. So to finish the acronym real quick, the results is really important. And then experience. And that's where looking at people's recommendations, it's really important. And if you have any questions, concerns, do it like a job interview. Reach out to those people that wrote the recommendations, talk to them, interview them. It's a real investment when you find a reputable coach. So take the time to check their credibility.
Yeah.
I think social proof definitely can be fake. So, you know, don't just believe everything you read, follow up.
Yeah.
Yeah. On LinkedIn, I was talking about this yesterday in a group. You can go on and, you know, check these boxes. You know, I endorse this person for this, this, and that. Nobody gives any regard. Anyone who understands LinkedIn gives any regard to any of those. I've had people I've never met try to connect with me by first going on and endorsing me for five or six things. They've never met me, don't know my work, don't know my clients. And they say, hey, I endorsed you for these. Can you reciprocate and let's connect? So what really matters, and I read often the testimonials that people write about others and hope that when I'm reading them, that I'm seeing things that are written about accomplishments. Because a testimonial that says, Julie's fantastic, everyone should know her, it's nice, doesn't mean anything.
Julie, I hide those.
Yeah, Julie was my coach.
I've gotten those and I just hide them from my profile because I only have my clients or my colleagues there. And mm-hmm. that goes to integrity too, really. Yes. Like I have recommended very few people mm-hmm. because if I don't know them, I'm not going to. And I don't think I'm not even sure I've ever hit the endorsement button on anyone because it really would be someone that has helped me and helped me achieve mm-hmm. results. And there are very few people that I've actually worked with from LinkedIn that I could do that for. Mm-hmm. So I think I've given 3 recommendations, and that goes to integrity. I will not put my name out there. That's what John was talking about, I think, before we got on this call, about like, I'm a rule follower on LinkedIn. And the reason is because it does speak to my integrity. Mm-hmm. And I think integrity is the cornerstone of your character as a coach. Yep. You put yourself up there as someone like a role model to emulate. And it's really important that you live that.
Yeah. And earlier you hit on something that I talk about all the time, which is this, the content that people put out there. One of the best ways to know if content is going to be totally non-inspirational is when the person starts with, I'm putting this up here to inspire you today. And when someone starts with, I am an expert, I always ask, according to who?
Yeah.
Who declared you an expert? Because if it's you, I got to wonder. Right. You know, those are the kinds of things, you know, when the ego's not involved, the idea of thought leadership, the person who gets to decide you're a thought leader is anyone but you.
You know, I have a signature, you know, in the way that I approach, you know, this the credibility. And I think that it's a very important part of the an individual or a business owner's a social presence or, you know, public presence. And that is that there's this word consistency. Consistency is absolutely vital. So when you go to my LinkedIn profile and you go to my website, you go to my Instagram, you're going to be hit with a hot pink, okay? It's everywhere. And there's consistency right across everything that I do in terms of my tone, my voice, my color. Look at my social currency, check out what type of content I'm creating. Look at my website, what type of content do I give away for free? Is it of value? Is it high quality? Why don't you Google me? Or better still, why don't you actually reach out to my clients and ask them what it's like to work with me? Now, Andrew, focus on that point right there, because when I'm talking to a prospect and they say, would it be okay if I talk to any one of your clients who have worked with you? I actually send everyone a list of references and I'm like, here it is. Please, please do yourself a favor. And you must do your own due diligence. Don't listen to me, listen to them. They will tell you what their experience was like and everything else that you need to know. And do you know what? I'm so lucky that I can do that, because I know that the feedback will be mostly not, and I have very high success rate in the 90s, very positive. Yeah. And the ones that don't, and even the ones that haven't succeeded, it's not because of my system, it's because they chose not to follow it. It doesn't matter. The point is they still speak highly of me. So the key here is when you're looking for credibility, look for all of that, those in the checklist, the social currency, LinkedIn profile. Are they posting? Are they active? What about their website? Does it match? Is the messaging the same? So for me, consistency is fundamental.
Right.
So, and all of those things matter. And when looking at a lot of the coaches that I get hit up all the time by people wanting to coach me in things that we're very successful in. And sometimes even you get hit up with an insult. I looked at the content that you put out there and it just isn't up to par. You should come to our coaching service. We can help you to coach and make better. And I'm kind of like, well, you know, kick me first and then ask me if we can be friends.
Right.
Probably isn't the approach. What are some of the other factors maybe that we haven't talked about yet? I'll throw it out to either of you to really, really hone who has the coaching ability and who doesn't when you're getting solicited or seeking.
In speaking to what you just said, if somebody is approaching you and offering up their services, so I don't know the approach that you take, Julie, but I don't sell anything.
I don't either.
What I do is I talk about what I know and I ask a lot of questions. I'm very curious. So because I realize, because of all these books that are behind me, I realize that the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know.
Yep.
And it builds your curiosity. So what I find is that when somebody is pitching you to be your coach, whatever it is in, 9 times out of 10, they're a hammer looking for a nail. And you're anything that they look at is a nail. So which means that they're coaching, whatever they're doing, it's not really designed to solve anything that I have going on in my life or in my business, because they don't know anything about me. When somebody reaches out to me, we spend 30 minutes to an hour on the phone just understanding what's going on before I ever talk about whether or not I can help them and how I would. That's called diagnosing the problem. And if you don't understand what the problem is, what the heck are you pitching?
Right.
That you can't pitch. If you're pitching, that means you have some kind of program that somebody else taught you, you bought, and you're just trying to push it to everybody. And I, one of the things we talked about before we got on this call was that I have a connection here locally who advised me to actually put my calendar link in all of my posts so that I could connect with and people could sign up with me and it would generate more work. And I don't work on volume. I work on value. So I don't want 5,000 people coming to me. Yeah, great money, but that's not what's important. I want people who have a problem. They see what I write because I write for Forbes. I write for Global Business Playbook. I write for Authority Magazine. I write every day on LinkedIn. And I write about stuff that people are struggling with.
Mm-hmm.
And if people read that and they say, that's the guy that I need to talk to. You know, Julie and I have known each other now for about a year, I think, and close to a year. And Julie's like, if I have somebody that has a business problem, I'm sending them your way. That's what I want.
It's funny. I was talking to somebody yesterday who also is a very well thought of coach. As a matter of fact, his practice is so strong, he has a waiting list now, which is kind of cool. And he always jokes about there's coaches and then there's triple C coaches. And I go, what's a triple C coach? He goes, cookie cutter coach.
Yeah.
And he's seen it and he's talked, you know, taken on clients that have failed with folks. You know, this idea of the what you don't know that you don't know stuff goes back. And I talk about it all the time and on the podcast and otherwise, is that sort of Dunning-Kruger effect, which is why these people that don't have the experience somehow think they're experts. And that's really what it's about. It's kind of, you know, there's this much that you know, and you believe there's only this much more to know. Although there's all this stuff out here that you're unaware that you don't know.
Right.
And until that person breaks that seal and starts to recognize all of the stuff they don't know, they're self-proclaimed experts. And I don't know if it comes with time or otherwise, but it seems that the younger generation now is suffering less than the millennial generation in this effect, because there's lots of people asking them questions that they actually go, gosh, I don't know. I guess I don't know stuff. Right. So,
but which is actually very valuable. You know, I always am up leveling my skills. So I do continuing education. And I noticed in the fall, clients kept coming back to limiting beliefs. So I sought out, which is actually under CME, like continuing medical education in psychology, which was my minor, to go and look at the actual psychological training. And so now that's one of the trainings I'm working on. So going back to what John said, like strategy sessions, I have strategy sessions. Mm-hmm. People ask me all the time, they're like, send me your price list. I'm like, I mean, I have packages. I do. I have 3 month and 4 month packages, or 12 sessions, 16 sessions. That's how I price my programs. But I don't just randomly put it out there like, here is what we do. High performance coaching does have a program, like a 12-week program, but rarely do I meet someone that needs that exact program.
Sure.
Very rarely. If someone comes to me, I do have one client, he came to me, he said, I want certified high performance coaching, the 12 weeks. I'm like, great. let's do it. That's my original training. That's fun for me. But typically people need a very customized strategic plan. There is no cookie cutter. There is no band-aid that fits everyone. And it's really important that we don't pretend that we have that, because that's dangerous and reckless and it can cause problems. And John was talking about, now I lost it.
I talk a lot.
Really? I hadn't noticed.
while you're thinking of it, Julie, you're thinking of it, let me touch on that subject of strategic planning. Mm-hmm. So you said, the first step is develop a strategy, right? Mm-hmm. So this is, Andrew, this is a really important point. If I work with a business or an individual and they don't have a plan, the first step is that we have a plan. If they don't want to develop a plan, I won't work with them. Mm-hmm. Just end of story. Because if you don't have a plan, why are you hiring me? Mm-hmm. It's not in your plan. So you're wasting your money unless you realize that this is what I need in my life. This is what I need in my business. And it's part of my plan. So mm-hmm. I think that that's also a big thing, is that we both look at things from more of a strategic perspective versus I'm just going to give you the thing that I have on my computer. And it's going to be a series of videos that run in perpetuity, and they're pumped out to you every week. And I never connect with you because I don't care. I got your money and I'm moving on to the next client.
Yeah, it's almost like when you're a kid in school and you got that one teacher who actually engages and gets you interested in discussing the topic. And then you go to your next class and it's the horrible teacher who just passes out worksheets and sits in the back of the room reading a book and says, "Don't you look up from your desk."
Right.
You know, do you just pass out worksheets and call it coaching, or do you truly dig in? You know, in the marketing world, which is where we play, marketing and sales consulting.
And that comes back to.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Sorry, Andrew. That comes back to what John was saying, is I don't work on volume. I work on value. Same. I don't pitch. I don't go out there and try to get coaching clients. If they don't recognize that they need me, I am wasting my time, and I don't have time, because I don't want to spend time reaching out to people that don't need me. Every single one of my clients in the last few years of my life have come to me, and they come to me because they see my value. They see that I have integrity. They see what I'm putting out into the world, and they've done their research. So they're ready to go. We hop on a call. We have our initial 90-minute strategy session. I follow up with them. I'm like, here's where I think I can help you. Is this in alignment with what you're thinking? We create a plan, and that's where we go from. But be very weary of people.
I'm gonna interrupt you.
This problem. I can fix it in 90 days. Send me all your money and let's go. It's not an infomercial world.
Yep.
And we should stop. I wish that other coaches would stop doing that, because it dilutes the coaching industry. And like I think Andrew mentioned with regulation, there is no regulation.
None.
Anyone can call themselves a coach. And so you do have to be a discerning investor when you're looking for a reputable coach.
In my business, I have a very, very clear benchmark. And that is, if you don't have more than 10,000 hours dedicated into your specialization, I actually will tell you there and then I cannot help you immediately. It's right up front. And I think that you have to have these criteria, because otherwise you just take anyone on, they end up becoming the client from hell. The other thing is that I'm very passionate about values. So I have my core values, and I can tell in the first 10, 15 minutes if that person is aligned with my values. If they're not aligned with my values, for example, one of my core values is truth. If I'm talking to a person, a prospect, and their goal is to get famous quick on LinkedIn, but they don't actually care about the product or services that they're developing because their goal is to be famous, that again is a red flag for me. So these are just little milestones in the conversation that you pick up. Of course, experience plays a big role in this. You know, I couldn't do what I do now, when I started, because the thing is that, I've had a lot of experience in owning my own businesses and working in other businesses, but in the coaching game, it's a bit different. because it's you're talking to a human, we're talking to emotions, etc. But these for me are critical red flags, and they're the two that I look for.
So we were talking about the process, and I'm just kind of at the end of time. We're running out, and I'm wondering if there's anything that I should have asked you, John, and then I'll ask Julie. Is there anything I should have asked you about the coaching process that I didn't, or something that people need to hear as they're seeking a coach that we didn't cover?
I think it's important that you find someone you connect with. Coaching is a very important and intimate investment that you're making. So you, in addition to having that trust and making sure your coach has integrity, it's really important that you feel safe with them, that you feel a connection with them, because ultimately that becomes your most trusted advisor. And mm-hmm. I've been told that a lot by my clients, like, especially like some, we were talking about married clients before, like some of my married clients are like, other than my husband or other than my wife, you are the most important person in my life. And I take that very seriously. Mm-hmm. So it's important that you feel that. You get on that initial call and just trust your gut with it.
That's great. I've heard the story again from people when you're searching out a consultant, a therapist, a coach, or whatever. There's always the initial sniff test. If something doesn't smell right, it's probably not right. Which is the first part of that connection, and then moving forward, it becomes even more important that connection exists and that you trust. Yeah. And really have respect for both the person and their time.
Absolutely.
Very important. Did you come up with anything yet, John?
Yeah. So I first piggyback on what Julie said. Our two key principles in Crosscutter Enterprises is that we are first a solution provider and second a trusted advisor. And with that, there are values that are underlying those two key principles. That's been a thing that, regardless of whether I've been a coach or I've just been a leader or I've been, you know, a director or even an individual contributor, I've always focused on being those two things. But I'd say that when you're looking at somebody as a potential coach and we look at the experience and we look at the education, we talked about those things. But one of the things to really look for is like, what have they, you know, done out there? Where have they been published? Have they been on podcasts? Do they do videos, video training? Do they have, like Mary, a magazine that demonstrates that they really do know what they're talking about versus they're just saying it? Yep. So if you can get, and it's not social proof, but if you can get the actual proof that, hey, this person is very, you know, they're very well written about this. And it's not, I'm not talking about on their banner, it says as seen on CBS and Fox News, because that can be a scam. Trust me, some people really have done that.
Yeah, you can buy your way onto some of those.
Exactly. And it, you know, like this is one of the things people don't really realize is that like you can have as seen on Fox. And that might mean that you were presented in some small town with a Fox News station and you were able to put that as seen on your, and that's what they mm-hmm. go for. So I write for Forbes magazine. And if I was right as seen on Forbes, or I put Forbes Coaches Council, you can look me up and I have nearly 100 articles and features on Forbes. So I really do write for Forbes. So mm-hmm. That's what you want to look for, is the proof that's out there. What have they done? Where have they go through their activity and look at what they're talking about in their posts and the things that they share? Because that's the stuff that really says that, yeah, I think this person really does know what they're talking about.
That's really important. How about you, Mary? Anything that I didn't ask you during the interview that I should have?
Well, I think there's two very important things for me. The first thing is, that I think, especially in today's, you know, economic climate, any coach that can't deliver an outcome-driven solution you have to have the outcome in order to be believable and trustable. I think that's the first and most important part of, you know, of choosing the right coach. The second thing is, and I think this is a really important one, because I think we forget to ask this question, can you deliver an end-to-end solution in the time frame that you're promising? And I use this example when people say, oh yeah, I can, you know, engage Joe Blow for an hour at $250, you know, and my response to that is always, can Joe Blow provide you with an end-to-end outcome-driven solution in that 1 hour? Or is it 25 hours, but they're not telling you that it's 25 hours? Or are you buying a coaching solution, but it's a part of something? So then by the end of that 8 week, then there's the upsell, and then there's the other upsell, and then there's the up. Mm-hmm. By the time you finish with that coach, you're up for $30,000, $50,000, $100,000. And you know what the worst part is? You still didn't get the outcome you wanted. So for me, my passion is all about, if I can't deliver the outcome, then I can't command the pricing that I'm commanding. It's not okay to do that, because I am, you know, to Julie's point, my passion is the client. Like I, you know, that is fundamental and so important, which is, you know, there's all different types of coaches, but I truly care about my clients, specifically around the outcome. And when they don't get the outcome, you know, I'm not that sort of person that says, just raise a support ticket. I'm there. I'm on email. I'm on WhatsApp. I'm on, you know, SMS. I'm, you know, I'm constantly thinking of them. 2 o'clock in the morning, I get my phone. I'm like, oh my God, I got the most amazing idea. We should talk about this. We should unpack this. That to me is real coaching. And finally, just to wrap up what I'm saying is, there is a real vast difference between coaching and consulting, or even advising for that matter. For me, a coach is a combination of knowledge, wisdom, and skills. That to me is a true coach, not somebody that's a textpert. I've read 3 books, now I'm an expert, and I'm going to give myself the label as a coach, right? And I'm going to go on Facebook, spend $10,000, buy all these leads, and hopefully I'll sell something. No. That's not what I'm talking about. And to John's point, you know, I have dedicated 39,000 hours in the work that I do. So it's not 39,000 hours, by the way, is 21 years. So it's not, you know, 21 days reading, you know, 3 self-help books and wow, I'm now a guru. So they're the things that I think are really important.
You know, you bring up something as we're wrapping up here that's key to us in the marketing space when we're doing marketing consulting. Many times we pick up relationships with new clients that have been burned by previous experiences. And most of those are what we could possibly describe as parasitic relationships. Yes. In other words, I've got my talons into my prey, and now I'm going to suck every dollar, Australian or American dollar, by the way, yeah, out of the customer. And if you sense that when you're out shopping a coach, that's how they work, run.
Absolutely. And Mary brings up such a good point, and I know we're wrapping it up, but quality over quantity. And John brought this up too, about like, I don't want to coach 5,000 people. I want to make sure that the 10 or the 15 that I'm coaching one-on-one get amazing results, because that's how you transform people's lives. That's how you really make an impact on the world. Those amazing results. And that's like what it's all about, really, as coaches, consultants, whatever role you play, it's about your client, number one, getting the results and the optimal outcome.
Yeah.
And Julie, if I can just add to that, please. Sorry, John. This is just something that I want to just throw in, because they also, to Julie's point, when you actually focus on giving people an ecstatic brand experience, they're the ones that are building your brand. We can't build our brand, but when people have that level of experience by touching and getting a taste of what it is that you bring to the table, whether they're a paid client or a prospect, they're the ones that build our brand.
Absolutely. John, did you have one last thing so we can?
Everything is excellent points here. You know, the thing is just do your research. That's really what we're talking about, is do your research. Don't be bamboozled by somebody who says that they're, yeah, that's a word, so you know. Don't be bamboozled by those people that say they can turn you into something and you don't need any experience. I mean, if you ever watch Mike Winnett and his Contrepreneur series, it's awesome. And he talks about this where he's like, I have absolutely
I don't know this person.
Oh, you have to
Julie,
check it out.
You have to, Julie. Yeah. It's so John's, funny.
John's been bugging me to watch it. It's on my list.
It's so funny to watch when he does his Contrepreneur bingo and he brings up these people that they have all these key words and phrases that they will say. And you can start to point this out and you can see, oh my God.
It's a passion.
They're master marketers and not master coaches.
Exactly. Correct. And they learn this way of doing things. It's people teach this and it's not good. And what, you know, like the bottom line of this is you, when you look at what you do, examine the level of risk and then hire against that. So I said at the very beginning of this, that every coach has to start somewhere. And there is a niche for the new coach, the new inexpensive coach that can help you with small problems to just, you know, talk through things. But if you have a major problem in your business, or, you know, like you're talking about some significant mental issues or something, you need to hire the right resource, not the person who says that they can just do it, because they could screw up everything. And there's no guarantee in this world with coaches. Yeah. So don't be fooled. Make sure that you're really reviewing your risk and making sure that you hire the right people against that risk.
Yeah, there's a point to be made that a true guru, if you believe one exists, is sought out, doesn't seek you out.
Yeah. Correct.
Well, this is a great place to wrap this up. And I really appreciate all three of you coming out and talking coach and maybe helping folks to sort of sort through the weeds and find real ones in a sea of maybe not so real ones. your advice is really going to benefit all the folks that love hanging out here again on the Fangled Cast. And if you enjoyed the show, remember that you can always click and subscribe and do all that kind of crazy stuff. You need to tell your friends, share it, send a fax to an old person, maybe smoke signals. I don't know if you're on your treadmill right now, running and sweating, listening to this, you know, stop, pick up your phone, call someone at the old age home and tell them they should be listening to the Fangled Cast too, because we know our demographic. And we will see you all in about a week. Or the next time you check us out. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Brought to you by Fangled Technologies, where we help you convert every person your company touches into a voracious advocate for your brand.